Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's program. I'm your host, Zach Drew. I am just glad to be back with you this week. I missed you all last week. We had to go dark. I had a little procedure done. Everything's okay, but there was no way I would be able to do a show last week. And honestly, I was really debating whether I was going to be doing a show this week. So I'm still very, very tired and, you know, have a foggy brain. So please just give me grace on this week's program. Honestly, if we still had a co-host, I would absolutely have asked him to take the reins this week. But, you know, the fact is we've had to downsize this last year. And, you know, that was something, and we have a great show planned today, but I needed to take a few minutes up top just to let you know. I mean, I had a conversation with a friend this week, and he asked me, he said, "Are you doing a show this week?" And I said, honestly, I said, "We're not in a position where we can't do a show." I said, "I had to go dark last week because of the procedure." And you know, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022 were just, most of 2022, were just explosive years of growth for us. And then it started to change at the end of 2022, and then something happened in 2023. I'm not even sure, because our message didn't change. Our aggressiveness for the gospel didn't change or anything like that. I think just people's finances changed, and we really did. We probably ended up taking about a 50% hit. And so like right now where we are in the ministry is we're behind. We really are. I mean, it would probably take us somewhere around $30,000 to catch back up. And that's not including probably the $20,000 we have of deferred maintenance as well. And just know that we need your help. You know, I've been saying it, and there's been people that have stood in the gap for us, and you know, they'll send, you know, the $500 checks and the $1,000 checks, and my gosh, that's amazing. I'm so encouraged by that. And I actually even brought a few letters on the program today, just from the last few weeks. I want you to know that I read every single letter that comes in. And oftentimes more than once. But these are just a couple from the last couple of weeks, and I wanted to read. I just wanted to thank you for your encouragement. This is from William, Indiana. It says, "We watch the show on the PTL network. We appreciate all the research that goes into your program. God bless you." And I thank you for that encouragement, William and Deanna. I have another one here. It says, "Dear Zach, I have been a supporter for several years, and although you are alone currently in the ministry, the gospel is being presented along with the news in more of a consistent manner. And that was missing in some of the programs. And the purpose is to present the gospel in each program. And it should be the reason for all of ministries." And I agree. I agree with you. "I have been sending $30 monthly, and I will continue to do so. And if cursive is sometimes difficult to read, Yes, I was still in the generation that learned cursive in school, by the way, and I can write in cursive quite well, and my giving will increase from time to time. I am old, so I don't do online finance." That's totally okay. "So it will be snail mail. Sorry, there's nothing to apologize for. May God bless you and yours as you continue to serve in his love, Carol." Carol, thank you for that letter. And I totally agree with you. It's so important. The Lord wants us to be aware of what's happening in the world. But above all, it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about spending eternity with him, ultimately. I mean, this world is but a shadow of a larger reality. We're here for a little while and then we're gone. That's why it says in James that this life is but a vapor, so small a vapor as you can even see it. Who knows what's even going to happen tomorrow? You know, if we even live 100 years here, it's a vapor compared to our eternity. And some of us are a lot closer to our eternity than others. And so death is in the mind more so of others than, you know, maybe younger people. I am a weirdo when it comes to that. I'm only in my early 30s, and I think about death often. because it's a motivator. It's a motivator to do all that you can for Christ, you know, while you're still on earth. You know, those are the things that matter. Another an encouraging letter from Linda. Dear Zach, encloses my monthly gift of $50. Don't give up. God will bless you and he will provide. God bless you. Listen, we're not going to give up. It would be easier to give up, but it would have been so much easier at many point in times in my life in the last 15 years of serving the Lord in ministry to just give up. Where in the world's mind, it made more sense to give up than to keep going. But that's with the carnal worldly mind. The mind apart from Christ, it would have made sense. When all of these things are against you, why not just give up? You have these other opportunities. Why not pursue those? Because it is a calling. It is a calling of God that God has placed on my life. He's placed callings on your life. I'm not special, but this more special than anybody else. Jesus is special, but this is my calling. This is what he has called me to do. And even in times like this, whenever it is a struggle, like I said, we're probably $30,000 behind on just keeping up, $20,000 in deferred maintenance. That's intimidating. All right, it's intimidating, it's stressful, and I've got to find a place in the Word of God more frequently because of it. He is faithful. He will provide. Don't give up. God bless you, and he will provide. Amen. Linda, I appreciate that. Two more letters. Dear Zach, I heard your cry for financial help, so I am sending you a little something to help, and it was a big something. My husband and I enjoy your show. We watch every Friday night. Keep up the good work. God is faithful and he will provide for all your needs. Ken and Carol, God bless you. Your encouraging words are so awesome. And the last one is from Ian. Hi, Zach. May Jesus continue to give increase to your ministry. May Jesus continue to use you for his honor and glory. Amen. I am in agreement with that. And listen, just so you know, like I said, I can't reply to all of the letters that come in. I've got a lot of responsibility here now with no co-hosts or anything like that. We have Andrew editing. We have a web developer that we're paying. But everything else in the studio, it's not my responsibility. So just know that if I don't write you a letter, I love you. I really do. And I am so grateful for your encouraging words whenever you take the time out of your busy day to do that. You know, we went through a lot of change in the last year, a lot of downsizing. We've had to, you know, change some things, but you know, we're not giving up. We're not, I'm not, there's just no way. It's not an option. The only way out is death. Okay. Seriously, the only way out is death. But we need you. I need you right now. You know, and there's easy ways to give. You can just simply go to ZachDrewShow.com, and click that bright orange donate button. And I am asking everybody to please just ask God what a generous gift would be. What a generous gift for you. Maybe even a gift that you're asking the Holy Spirit, what is a gift that is just beyond the line where it makes you uncomfortable? What is that line? And step over that line just a bit. Maybe it'll test your faith. I believe that God will bless you because of it. And I don't mean he's going to send it back to you in a financial way, but I just believe that God blesses those who give. That's scriptural. Now, I know it's not prosperity gospel. It doesn't mean you're going to get rich. Maybe it's blessed with your health. Maybe it's blessed with, you know, a dormant womb. God can bless you in a thousand ways that are far more beneficial than money. But I ask that you would give a generous gift. You just go online, ZachDrewShow.com, or was said in the letter, if you're not online savvy, just there's nothing wrong with snail mail at all. You can give to us by sending it to You can either send it to IGBY or the Zach Drew Show. So it doesn't matter what you put on there, because IGBY was just what I named the covering for the program, which just simply means, it's an acronym that means I go before you, which is a promise that God gave to Joshua in Deuteronomy. You can send it to the Zach Drew Show, P.O. Box 797, Decatur, Illinois, 62525. I apologize. We did used to have a number to call. That number, everything is so expensive in the TV world, that number alone cost a few thousand dollars every year just to operate, and we just can't do that right now. So the two ways to give are online and through the mail. I know I spent a lot of the show doing that, but and I don't want to do that. I wish everything was just flowing in such a way where I could just, you know, the lower thirds where it just says give if you want, but we're in a position where we need your help. So I'm going to get right into the content after this. Thank you. I want to start off the content portion of this program by talking about how the House of Representatives just passed a bill aimed at tackling the issue of anti-Semitism. With the majority of both parties on board, one might assume it's a rare moment of bipartisan unity, but you need to hold your applause because there's a glaring issue with this so-called anti-Semitism bill. It's not about anti-Semitism at all. No, dear friends, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's masquerading as a noble cause while concealing its true intentions, which beneath this bill lies a sinister agenda. No surprise. And that is the suppression of your free speech as a conservative or Christians or any other dissenting opinions for that matter. So make no mistake about it, this isn't anti-Semitism, what we're talking about right now. It's about silencing dissent through the guise of hate speech legislation. A couple articles to illustrate this. NBC News, House passes anti-Semitism bill with broad bipartisan support amid campus arrests. Fox News, House votes to expand definitions of anti-Semitism amid anti-Israel demonstrations across U.S. Here's an article that says, House passes anti-Semitism bill as Johnson highlights campus protests. The House voted on Wednesday to pass the bipartisan Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, a vote that comes amid heightened concerns over anti-Semitism with Israel at war with Hamas, and as pro-Palestinian protests have sprung up on college campuses across the country. The House vote was 390 to 91, with 70 Democrats and 21 Republicans voting against the bill. The GOP opposition largely came from the right flank of the conference. The bill would next need to be taken up by the Senate. You know, here are a few thoughts from Glenn Beck that I thought deserve some attention.
I am dead set against this, and you should be too. Something can be legally permissible and morally repulsive at the same time. Speech needs to be protected, not the stuff we all agree on, but the stuff we don't agree on. The only speech that needs protection is the speech that a lot of people, the majority, find absolutely abhorrent. Congress doesn't understand. You cannot legislate hatred away. You can't pass a bill. You know what happens? All you do is you create speakeasies of hate. They go into the closet. They go into another room where they can't be heard. And it just becomes a festering pool of hate that at some point will break out. The only one that can remove hatred from hearts is God. We can do our part. Does that mean that jerk protesters can prevent Jewish students from entering their own classroom? No, that's not speech. In the public square, and I mean that electronically as well, those who are standing up and, quite honestly, spreading the lies about the Palestinians and Hamas and saying, no, they're not. They're good. They're great. There's not a problem there. As much as it kills me to say it, I stand with them on freedom of speech.
Yeah, I mean, that, there it is. It's about upholding the Constitution, and this would infringe on our right to free speech. And Matt Gaetz kind of made some waves by even talking about how even parts of the Bible, which this is key, this is where they're going to go, this is where they will go, even parts of the Bible would be considered hate speech. So Gaetz dubs House anti-Semitism bill a ridiculous hate speech bill. So Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida labeled the House anti-Semitism legislation as a ridiculous hate speech bill ahead of the vote Wednesday. The House approved a bill that aims to crack down on anti-Semitism on college campuses amid ongoing pro-Palestinian protests taking place at U.S. universities across the country. Gaetz voiced his opposition to the bill ahead of the vote, saying some excerpts of the Bible would meet the bill's definition of anti-Semitism. Oh, so you mean they want to silence part of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Big surprise, huh? Because we've talked about information is key to establishing a new world order, whoever controls the flow of information. And that is why conservatives and Christians are being censored like never before. That is why when Section 230 is rewritten, that's why Trump wants to take out the sections where it silences you and I, but at the same time, the left and the Biden administration would like to rewrite it to give more power and more censorship power to the tech companies. I mean, this is not secret news. I mean, this is like stated out loud. That's exactly what they want to do. I mean, it's just crazy. So let's keep going. The organization provides a number of examples of what qualifies as anti-Semitism, including calling for the harming of Jews in the name of radical ideology or an extremist view of religion, and accusing Jewish individuals as inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. The vote took place as a wave of pro-Palestinian protests on dozens of college campuses nationwide have escalated in recent days, with some demonstrations' rhetoric veering into anti-Semitism. Demonstrators took over a building at Columbia University, prompting a police response, and more than 1,500 people have been arrested on college campuses since April 18th. This is what Gaetz said. This evening, I will vote against the ridiculous hate bill speech called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, he wrote on the social platform X. Anti-Semitism is wrong, but this legislation is written without regard for the Constitution, common sense, or even the common understanding of the meaning of words. The gospel itself would meet the definition of anti-Semitism under the terms of this new bill. Well, I think what we're seeing here is, as the old adage goes, never let a good crisis go to waste. You know, whether it's pushing through controversial legislation under the guise of emergency measures or exploiting public fear to advance a hidden agenda, our leaders, referring to COVID there, our leaders are masters at capitalizing on chaos. This is America. Let me read a quote from Benjamin Fricker real quick. Powerful quote here. Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Woo, that is such a powerful quote. I got to say that again. Preacher. Those who would give up essential liberty, so freedom, to purchase just a little temporary safety, you deserve neither liberty, freedom, nor safety. You know, look what's happening in Canada. This is unbelievable. The Trudeau regime has introduced an Orwellian new law called the, I'm almost, I had a fact, because you know who I learned about this from was Elon Musk. Okay, so he was one actually like was talking about this. I couldn't believe it. I had to go and fact check this. So the new law is called the Online Harms Bill. It's C-63, if you want to look it up, which will give police the power to retroactively search the internet for hate speech violations and arrest offenders, even if the offense occurred before the law existed. That's unbelievable. This bill is aimed at safeguarding the masses from so-called hate speech. It was Revolver.News that reported that the real shocker in this bill is the alarming retroactive aspect. Essentially, whatever you've said in the past can now be weaponized against you by today's draconian standards. It was historian Dr. Muriel Blavé, and he weighed in on it and on this draconian law, and he labeled it outright mad. I said he, she. And she points out how literally it spits in the face of Western legal traditions, especially the one about only being punished if you infringed on a law that was valid at the time of committing a crime. Are you seeing how we're living in the end times? Are you seeing how the Antichrist spirit, the anti-Jesus spirit, is throughout the earth right now? And if this happens in Canada, which, I mean, people are actually starting to be sent to prison for, how long, I wonder? Well, here's an article from Fox News. Just be prepared for your jaw to drop. Canadian law endorsed by Trudeau government could imprison people for life for speech crimes. Think about this. Not grown perverts that molest little girls and molest little boys, but people that say offensive things should be imprisoned for life. It's unbelievable. Advocates of the bill say it's intended to create a safer environment on social media for young people. A Canadian law that aims to make social media platforms safer is getting flack for what some decry as government overreach. That's the most ridiculous thing. Some decry as government overreach. Everybody else is just an idiot. If you're not saying that's not government overreach. Introduced last month, the Online Harms Act would allow judges to imprison adults for life if they advocate for genocide. The law would also allow a judge to impose house arrest and a fine. So house arrest and a fine if there were reasonable grounds to believe a default will commit an offense. An offense, it's not like the offense is the hate speech, all right? Writing in public, conservative author Stephen Moore called it the most shocking of all totalitarian, illiberal, and anti-Enlightenment pieces of legislation that have been introduced in the Western world in decades. Citing a government spokesperson, the bill would increase the maximum penalty specifically for advocating genocide from 5 years to life imprisonment and from 2 years to 5 years on indictment for the willful promotion of hatred. Well, if that's the case, I would say it's time to arrest this guy. Yep, that's Justin Trudeau. I wonder if this will apply to Mr. Trudeau. I mean, by every definition, and by his very definitions, what do you think, blackface? What apply, or does he get a free pass? I don't know. Because put that man in... put that man in prison forever, I suppose, right? According to him, there is a war on free speech around the world, and especially in Western countries, and they won't ever be satisfied until it is completely eradicated. Don't forget, a few months ago, we talked about an article how they are literally, and if this is not biblical, I don't know what is. They are incentivizing turning in your neighbor. Literally handing out prizes, $2,000 payments in Washington for turning in your neighbor. That's biblical. We'll read a couple of those scriptures in a moment. And that is, and that is, that's what's happening right now in Washington, in the state of Washington. It's so alarming that the new law would allow private individuals to collect up to $2,000 every time they report someone to the new Hate Crimes and Bias Incidents Hotline. You can look it up, Senate Bill 5427. And after it is signed into law, would also allow private individuals, note that this is not limited to American citizens, it can be illegals, does not have to be American citizens, to report bias incidents to the state attorney general's office with the possibility of receiving up to $2,000 of taxpayers' money for the non-criminal incident. The bill was very clear. This is a non-crime, which they will then forward to local law enforcement to investigate. So what's to investigate? No crime, no investigation. The progressives and Marxists who sponsor this bill say it is intended to help victims of hate crimes before a hate crime even happens. What? Right? In reality, SB 5427 would create a tattletale hotline, undermine legitimate criminal investigations, and freeze, not just chill, freeze free speech. It would do it to speech in the press in Washington. People will stop talking to others and writing to others except very close friends and relatives for fear of, you know, Karen reporting them to the Washington's version of the Gestapo. This is crazy. This is where we are right now. It reminds me of Matthew 24, 9 and 10. Are we in the end times? Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. And remember what we talked about, how even in this new bill, the gospel of Jesus Christ would be considered hate speech. So think about Section 230. Think about the suppression that us as conservatives, especially people like me on YouTube, being almost blacklisted. We're on YouTube every Friday night, but every show is shadow banned. Every single show is shadow banned. That is why after 5 years, we have 7,000 subscribers. Whenever we started a show in 2016, we were at 75,000 subscribers in 6 months because that was before the conservative takedown started to take place. Our show is being shadow banned. You know, and it's going towards Christians. Like, the end of it is Christians. It is anti-God. They hate God. Matthew 24, 9 and 10. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And why? Matthew 24, 12. And because lawlessness will be increased. Aren't we there? My goodness, has lawlessness been increased? And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Matthew 10, 21, brother will betray brother to death and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm until the end will be saved. And that is why the scriptures say to focus on the things that are unseen, for what is seen is just temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So while there is a great benefit to understanding and knowing, because Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for not knowing the signs of the times, we are to know the signs of the times, but never let it distract us from our ultimate destiny. And so don't dwell all day long on what's happening. Let it be an encouragement, rather, that Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. If you haven't made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, I would encourage you to do that now. The scriptures say that anyone who confesses that Jesus is Lord and believes it in their heart will be saved. He is the only one in which salvation is found. There is no other way. We stand, apart from Jesus, we stand guilty and deserving of an eternal separation apart from God. We stand condemned without Christ. Christ is the only one that can wash away your sins to make you clean and as white as snow, so that you no longer have to face that fearful judgment in the afterlife. That whenever you look upon, when you're judged and they look upon the sins of your life, all eyes in the room will set their gaze upon Jesus. And he can say, by my blood, you have been acquitted. Enter into my kingdom for all of eternity. I love you guys. Please stand with me in this trying time that we're having. We need your help. I'll see you next week.